We are back on an extra edition of the BBP. We'll have two out a week and then on the road and at home, a bonus podcast to recap what happened in the Bengals game that day. Tyler, I want to go ahead and get to it because we watched a couple of days of practice Wednesday and Thursday. We are recording this on a Thursday. Cordy Glenn was back at practice?
So he was back at practice for the last couple days. That's the good news. The bad news is he was not participating. On Wednesday's practice, he was doing some agility drills on the side, which is an indication to me that he is in the final stages of concussion protocol. We all know he suffered a concussion the second preseason game against Washington. So it's going to be interesting. The Bengals are still holding out some hope that he will be active and available to play Sunday in Seattle. And as we all know, that's going to be pivotal because that left guard position goes up against Jadeveon Clowney, the newly acquired defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks. So there is some optimism in the locker room. He is progressing in concussion protocol. He has not practiced yet. If he does not play, Andre Smith is going to be plugged in right there at that left tackle position. And that's going to be dicey. They're not going to leave him out there on the island. They're going to send some running backs to chip block Clowney, and they're going to send some the tight end. They'll shade over to that side and the strong side and be able to block Clowney a little bit. And they'll see some. He'll see some double teams, but it's not a good sign to have your starting left tackle not practiced for the first 2 days, and he hasn't practiced for weeks. Yeah, there's some optimism. He still might play. The jury's still out. It's just not looking good to this point.
Yeah, Tyler Eifert was actually asked about that in locker room on Wednesday. Hey, you might be asked to block out there. And he said, hey, I'm ready. We've actually prepped for that. John Ross, a guy who's almost had 2 weeks of practice with the starters right now. And we talked to him in the locker room on Sunday afternoon, actually. And he said, I have a positive mindset. I'm ready to, you know, bring my speed. It's actually up a level this year. And I know what I can bring to this offense. Anything they ask, I'm going to be able to do it. Versus NFC teams, he's actually had over 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. That's just 3 NFC games in his career. I know fans will say he has to be healthy to be out there. What will he bring? Does it really matter? And yes, Tyler, it matters that John Ross is out on the field. What's he going to bring?
Well, if his speed is up another level, I would love to see him run the 40 again because he already set the NFL record. So that means he's even faster. He's going to run a 4.19, 4.18. But on the field, you know, he changed his number. He has a fresh slate, fresh outlook this season, and the confidence is going to be key. I think some of his drops, some of his shortcomings last year, and even the injuries started to get in his head. And a big part of playing sports and being an athlete is mental. And when you don't have your mind strong, when you don't have the confidence, it affects your play on the field. And I think it's starting to affect John Ross. So this year is going to be interesting to see how his confidence is like. You know, he started training camp injured, but now he's back in the practice field. And optimism is at all-time high for every single player in NFL outside of Antonio Brown. But it's that everybody is feeling good about the regular season and thinking like, okay, I can make an impact. And John Ross feels that way. And Zach Taylor and the Bengals coaching staff are supporting him as such, because as soon as he was active and out practice, Zach Taylor and the Bengals put him in the starting lineup. He is going to be one of 3 receivers that starts for the Bengals week 1. And Andy Dalton, the very first day at practice, his first pass, as I remember, was to John Ross. It was a short screen pass that John Ross caught and ran upfield. So I expect John Ross to be an impact player in this offense. And Zach Taylor said as such. He said that John Ross is going to have a large role on this team. And I expect that to happen because based on what I've seen at practice, and he's going to be given opportunity and he has to be able to perform because he's a first round pick. The Bengals invested a lot in him and he hasn't, to this point, lived up to that first round billing. So the pressure's on, and I'm thinking he's going to be able to handle it.
I want to stick with wide receivers at the moment. I actually talked to Tyler Boyd about it a couple of days ago with Damian Willis getting his first start. Asked if he had any advice for him. And he's one of those guys and leaders with AJ Green down right now. And Tyler's been in the locker room to be one of those vets that guys can look up to. And he said he kind of had a similar conversation with Damian Willis he had with Auden Tate, even in Josh Malone when he was here at training camp. He said, you can do what I did in 2018. You get these opportunities. You can have your down years. And John Ross is someone who can look at Tyler Boyd and feel that way too. And I think it's going to be one play for him, that confidence booster. And sometimes every player out there needs it, just that one big play that he goes out there. And it might be in Seattle, it might be week two, it might be another time this season or the next time he sees the end zone with that different coaching staff. And I think that's what John Ross needs, and he's going to see that when he looks at a guy like Tyler Boyd as a leader in the wide receiver room. Running backs though, Joe Mixon, he was one of the guys in there offensively and even defensively. I heard it, we are trying some new things. He's like, I can't spill it yet, you know. we haven't played the Seahawks, but new things are happening. Do you believe that? Is that player speak, or, you know, is it going to get fans interested? What's going on?
The Bengals are going to run a lot of tempo. They're going to play with pace, and they're going to use the running backs a lot this year. Geo and Mixon, they are going to get the ball in space. Zach Taylor wants to see them in one-on-one matchups, so that's why Joe Mixon is feeling excited and having a great time at practice, because he knows he's going to have a huge role in this offense. He is the best player in offense, especially with AJ Green not playing. And I expect him to get plenty of touches, 20 plus touches a game. And that's running the football and catching the football. Zach Taylor likes to utilize the running backs. Just look at, I know he wasn't the primary play caller, but just look at how he coached with the Rams and what that Rams offense was like. Todd Gurley had his two best years back to back. So Joe Mixon is cognizant of that and is like, okay, you know, Todd Gurley's one of the best running backs in the league. Joe Mixon feels like he's one of the best running backs in the league. So he feels like he can reap the benefits this year.
I think if you're on offense, you really like a guy like Joe Mixon, younger guy, but he's just boosts with confidence. He does. We actually talked about this during training camp and during preseason. He believes the offensive line is still better than last year, and he had himself a 2018 despite the record. One thing we did talk about with the players when you hear about CenturyLink Field, the 12th man, it's a loud out atmosphere that they have to adjust to. I know some of the guys said Andy Dalton had kind of a quiet snap count. What are you hearing from them?
So there was a quiet snap count. Communication is going to be key. It's funny that you were talking about music. I was hearing a lot of good music today. And like, so I'm a rap and R&B guy. And on Wednesday, they were playing Jeezy. They were playing Rick Ross. So I was bumping my head a little bit. And then today, they're playing Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre. I was like, oh, wow, I'm from the West Coast. I got a West Coast. Where am I at right now?
They're feeling that West Coast vibe. They know where they're going.
So they are cranking up the music. You can't really replicate what you're going to hear, the 12th man in that Seattle Seahawks crowd, but the Bengals, they are doing their due diligence and they're training in a loud environment. The music was as loud as I've heard at the practice facility on Wednesday. So, I mean, that's pretty much telling me, okay, you got to be prepared for a loud and hectic, rowdy environment in Seattle. It's one of the loudest stadiums in the league, if not the loudest. And it's one of the toughest places to play and all of football. So they're going to have their hands full dealing with that crowd noise. And, of course, those players on the field.
Yeah, Carlos Dunlap, I asked him about it. Have you ever played in an environment like that? And he's like, hey, it's been a while since we actually played at CenturyLink Field. He said, probably Florida. When I was playing college in Florida, that's probably when I heard it like that.
It's interesting because that question came up a lot this week, and a lot of guys were referring back to their college days. I heard, you know, when we played LSU, it was really loud. Oh, when we played Nebraska, it was really loud. Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State. So they were just going back to their college days, and yeah, we know those college stadiums get really rowdy. So yeah, it was interesting to hear their responses. You didn't hear a lot of NFL stadiums being referenced. I heard, you know, Arrowhead Stadium a couple times. You know, you heard Mercedes-Benz in New Orleans, but by and large, it was those college stadiums.
The only way to really quiet a stadium is to get out with a nice 2-score lead. But we will see. We will see. You'll have to go to our prediction video. It'll be up on Cincinnati.com. One of my favorite segments, I added it around the NFL. And man, this guy just, he keeps making the list every week because he comes up with something new. Antonio Brown versus Mike Mayock versus the Raiders. I find this so interesting. Someone actually put it out on Twitter, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. He said, normally you don't put your bad report cards out there on social media, but hey, I mean, Antonio Brown's just dishing out all the dirt, somebody who doesn't have a filter. And Tyler, one of these things, and we're going to get to all of what just happened in the past 2 days with Antonio Brown and the Raiders, I find funny. I keep hearing, oh man, the Steelers, they were so smart to get rid of him. He's gone. But I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know you weren't here last year and with Pittsburgh and the AFC North. But would have Pittsburgh, would Mike Tomlin, would they have kind of threatened the suspension with his antics? I don't remember any of that happening in the past couple years when we heard him speak up.
So I think Antonio Brown has surrounded himself with a whole bunch of yes men. Mm-hmm. And he's used to getting his way. And in Pittsburgh, they kind of just put up with it, and because he was productive on the field. And he forced his way out of there. So that's, again, getting his way. And he signed a huge deal with the Raiders. Again, that's getting his way. So Antonio Brown has been used to getting his way this whole entire time. And you say it's funny. I honestly think it's sad, because you see an athlete literally throwing his career away and his reputation. Because on the field, Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in football, if not the best. But when's the last time we talked about Antonio Brown on the football field?
Yeah, it's actually been a minute. I mean, and that's why Juju had, I mean, and Juju is a great receiver. We've talked about this before. But when Antonio Brown's out there on the field, he's just a difference maker, one of the top wide receivers, yeah. And everybody knows that. But at some point in the NFL, in his career, you have to wonder, when does his off the field, you know, non-filter, what he says out there on social media, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of throwing a fit like a toddler sometimes, when does that outweigh his talent?
Yeah, it's just been constant. I mean, I was talking to people today, and we were talking about the Facebook Live incident, and that seems like decades ago compared to what has been happening of late. It's like Antonio Brown, and I tweeted this earlier today. It's like, is there like a Hall of Famer that can like mentor this guy, just sit down and talk to him? Like I mentioned Jerry Rice, anybody, Randy Moss. I know Randy Moss had his troubles off the field, but any wide receiver. And it doesn't have to, nobody's squeaky clean and nobody's perfect, but a Hall of Famer or a veteran, and just say, Antonio, you know, you're still have a lot of years left in this league. You're productive. You have Hall of Fame potential and Hall of Fame numbers, but you're activity off the field and the constant drama that you're causing and the just the me mentality. I know there's no I in team, but there is a me, and Antonio Brown knows it. And it's just constant me, me, me. And he just draws all this attention to himself, and it's always about himself. And at the end of the day, football is it's the biggest team sport that we have in America. And entire Raiders organization this entire offseason has been about Antonio Brown. You don't hear about Derek Carr. You don't hear about anybody else. You may hear people about John Gruden, but it's all about Antonio Brown. And it's really sad, because I know he's a great football player, but it's just somebody has to sit down and talk to him and tell him straight up, like, you have to get your act together or you're going to throw your entire career away. And it's unfortunate. It's really sad, because the Raiders, they're about to suspend him and they're about to fine him. And the way the language looks in his contract, they can release him and Antonio Brown won't get paid. Yeah. So this situation is far from over. I just hope it ends in a good way, but it's not looking like that right now, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and the Raiders are actually getting hammered on social media right now. I don't get that, because I feel like they're standing up to Antonio Brown. When they're sending him notes and just letting him know, like, hey, you're going to be fine for this, and like you mentioned, he does things and he gets a new contract. Mm-hmm. He gets mad about the helmet and he gets a helmet deal. I mean, the guy just keeps getting rewarded for how he's acting, and that's never going to help him. And maybe it is the Raiders who show him, like, hey, we're over this. We're done with this. Goodbye. We don't care how talented you are. Or maybe it is the Raiders that show him you can't do all of that, or nobody's going to want you on your team. I know I saw some people joking he's going to land or something like that. He's going to land on the Patriots or, you know, the way things go. But credit to Mike Mayock. I mean, there might be a point where the Raiders and Gruden have to say, is it Mayock or is it Antonio Brown? But Mayock is standing up to him. He's like, this is the way it's going to be. We're not putting up with that. He's pretty honest. He talks to the media and he says, nope, he wasn't at practice on Thursday. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I'm not in the Raiders locker room, but it's hard for me to say it's Mike Mayock when we saw the same type of behavior in Pittsburgh, and we're seeing it again in Oakland. So it's...
when Vontaze Burfict is holding you back versus you trying to hit Mike Mayock, I mean, that's something. That's full life circle there.
It's telling. It's telling. And then when you have... You saw O.J. Simpson tweet out some advice for Antonio Brown. When O.J. Simpson is tweeting you advice, you've hit rock bottom. I'm sorry. You've hit rock bottom.
It is a mess. It is a mess with Antonio Brown right now. And I don't think that soap opera is going to be ending anytime soon, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And, you know, as you said, today is Thursday. The biggest story of the day is what?
Antonio Brown. It should be the game tonight.
There's a game tonight. Opening day of the National Football League, the 100th season, and the biggest story of the day and probably the entire week will be Antonio Brown. So again, it's me when it comes to Antonio Brown. It's all about himself. And he might not mean it, but his actions tell an entirely different story, that he is being very selfish and just self-absorbed in all his actions, because he's not thinking about anybody else but himself. And I truly hope there is a Hall of Fame player that can sit down and talk to him and tell him about himself, because he's going to force his way out of the league and he's going to find himself out of a job because of his off the field actions.
I feel like that is far from over in Oakland with Antonio Brown and what is happening. And to start this 2019 season, we're going to move on, because everybody loves predictions and we can give our Super Bowl picks. And when we say it on here, we can't take it back. Whatever we say is going to happen. So I'm actually going to go ahead and go first.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers, but it was definitely a toss-up with the Saints right now. I feel like the NFC is stronger than the AFC. So I'll go KC versus Green Bay in February.
I like that pick. So a couple months ago, I did pick the Los Angeles Chargers to win a Super Bowl. That's not looking good, this whole Melvin Gordon situation and Derwin James. I got to pick the Patriots again. I'm picking the Patriots to repeat, and I have them beating the Philadelphia Eagles.
So you're not feeling KC. Patrick Mahomes again out there lighting it up in the air. Offensively, you are.
I would not be surprised if KC was the representative in AFC. I do, however, believe that the Chargers and the Chiefs will kind of be playing themselves out of that Super Bowl race, because they're going to beat up each other. And that's going to be a dogfight in the AFC West, because I think those two teams are like two of the three best teams in AFC. It's the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Chargers.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a dogfight in that AFC West, and they're not going to be able to rest players because they want to get home field advantage and they want to win the division. And I think that's going to hurt them in the end. And the Patriots, they'll be able to cakewalk through that AFC East, because, I mean, who's going to beat them? The Jets?
the Jets are always a toss-up for me. And, I mean, the Patriots are so lucky to be in that division right now. And they are talented. They prove it when it comes to the AFC playoffs. But, man.
And they're loaded, too. They're loaded. Yeah. And if Josh Gordon can keep his head together and stay clean, that's just another, that's the Patriots' best receiver since Randy Moss.
I think he will. I honestly think this new landing spot, I think this is going to be perfect for Josh Gordon. I don't know if I'm pulling for him. I don't know if we can say the same for Antonio Brown in Oakland, but again, that's probably going to be a weekly segment on what's going on with Antonio Brown before that gets exhausted.
Soap opera AB. That's what I'm going to call him. Soap opera AB.
They might try to trademark that. I'm not going to lie. Social media questions, again, you can send them on Instagram, ENQ Bengals, or over on Twitter, ENQ Sports. I'm going to get to Dean. He said, do you think this team is trying to make any moves or trades? Are we just not succeeding with that, or are they good with the roster? And I'm going to say right now, again, I'm not in those rooms with Zach Taylor and his staff and Duke Tobin. There are moves that happen, and we don't find out about them until a couple of days later to see if they tried to claim someone. Again, it's always based on records and where the Bengals fall, and if somebody else claims the player before them. We don't see or hear those phone conversations that are happening with other teams. So that's a really hard one to answer. Mm-hmm. I don't think a team is ever pleased with where they're at on their roster. I think the Bengals could look at it and you could find it offensively and defensively where you need more depth. You could say in the linebacker room. You could even say wide receiver. And of course, when you look at the offensive line, but what do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I don't believe the Bengals are complacent. They did examine and explore the waiver wire. They added some running back depth. They added some receiver depth earlier. I do believe, and I've been hearing some rumblings, that they did look at some linebackers, some veteran linebackers. Nothing materialized as of yet. I'm not saying that they're done exploring the possibility of adding another veteran linebacker, but They're doing their due diligence in trying to upgrade this roster. And if you see another move, in my opinion, it will be at that linebacker position because they only have four linebackers on the active roster. And that is relatively light in that position room in that active roster when you're going in. The Bengals, they're going to play in a dime defense most of the time, and that's with two linebackers. But when they play in that base 4-3 defense, obviously that's three linebackers. And to only have one substitute, that's not good. That's not ideal. You need more depth at that position. So I would not be surprised if the Bengals add another linebacker to their active roster. They have Hardy Nickerson on the practice squad. They could elevate him to the active roster, but we'll see.
Everybody loves predictions, so we're going to get to the next two. And Jeremy wants to know, who is going to be the MVP on this roster by the end of the season?
That's a good question, and I am selecting Joe Mixon, AFC's leading rusher last year. Zach Taylor is going to feature him early and often. The offense is going to cater to him, and I think he's going to reap the benefits and be a beneficiary of Zach Taylor's offense. So I'm picking Joe Mixon as my MVP.
I think that's definitely one to go by right now. And Joe told us before, he feels his offensive line is better in 2019 versus 2018. It's easy to go when you look at the offense right now and say that Joe Mixon will be the MVP. I'm going to go defensively. We've talked about this guy a lot. No pressure on him. After his rookie season, Carl Lawson unfortunately tore his ACL last year. So coming back from that, he's looked like a monster. We've only seen him in training camp, preseason, only a little bit in preseason. So I think it's really going to be a test to that defense, and he looks like an animal out there. So
I like that pick. I really do like that pick.
Most valuable player will be on defense. I'm going to say Carl Lawson. You're going to go offense with Joe Mixon. And Ryan wants us to rank the division. I know we've talked a little bit about where we think the Bengals will end up being in the division. The AFC North is just, it's hard to predict right now. I was all about Steelers a couple weeks ago. And you know what? I think I actually will go that route. I'll go Steelers, Ravens, Browns, Bengals.
Okay. I like that. I am picking the Ravens to repeat as division champions, then the Steelers, then I'm going Cleveland, and then, unfortunately for Bengals fans, I have them finishing last. So that is what I'm going with. I think the Ravens, they upgraded the running back position. Lamar Jackson, year two as a quarterback, I believe he's going to develop as a pocket passer and not just rely on his legs. Then you go into Pittsburgh. I mean, what can you say? They're a model of success. They're usually always in the playoff hunt. Ben Roethlisberger has a chip on his shoulder. I know they lost soap opera AB and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell in the backfield, but they still have a pretty good defense, and they have some weapons. Juju Smith, one of the, let's say, a top 10 wide receiver, top 15 wide receiver, and like I said, a good defense. And over in Cleveland, I just think there's too many mouths to feed. You got Odell Beckham that wants the ball. You got all these players that want the ball. Baker Mayfield, I know he's getting a lot of hype. I just haven't seen it as of yet. I think he still has a ways to go as a leader and as a quarterback. And this is the first time in a while that the Browns are playing with some expectations. They're not going to be able to sneak up on teams anymore. I'm hearing Super Bowl, division winners. So players are going to have their antennas up when they play the Cleveland Browns, and they're going to get opponents' best shots because they've been the darlings of the offseason. They've won a lot of the headlines outside of the headlines in Oakland. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that pressure and those expectations. And then as for the Bengals, if I'm being honest, and like I said, I'm always going to be real, when you look at their roster top to bottom, it's hard for an unbiased opinion to say that their roster is better than anybody else's in the division.
I want to go back to Cleveland really fast, and we've definitely talked about all the hype during preseason, but it's funny because I kept hearing, oh yeah, they're going to be a team that could make it to the Super Bowl, or they're going to win the division. And I was doing some national searching because I know how much everybody loves the national media and what they think about predicting the division winners and who's going to the Super Bowl. I really couldn't find anybody who was going out on the limb and saying the Cleveland Browns are going to find their way in the Super Bowl. And I can definitely agree
with
you.
Did you find one?
None. And you know, maybe I should do my homework a little bit better, but I was scamming. I was looking at, I couldn't find one guy who wanted to go out on a limb, or girl wanted to go out on a limb and say that they think that the Cleveland Browns are going to win the Super Bowl. But yes, I agree with you. I think the Bengals 6 or 7 wins. I could see two teams out of the AFC North end up making the playoffs. But
I mean, maybe
see.
You might find one fan that says the Bengals will win Super Bowl. If they're,
that
you
positive
know,
guy out there.
A couple drinks deep.
Yeah,
maybe more than a couple.
Like I said, 6 or 7 wins. You have a new coaching staff, younger guys, plugging new guys in out there. Younger guys are getting opportunities. It's going to be an interesting year. And like you said, just be interesting out there. Just be entertaining.
Yeah.
Do something, you know, that looked different than what we saw in 2018.
I do believe that they will be competitive and they will be in some games. And if you're in some games, then the ball can bounce. It can go any way. And that's all you have to ask for, I believe, as a Bengals fan, is to be competitive, have a sort of a winning product on the field. And I say that it doesn't have to always translate into wins, but you can see, you know, and you can feel like, oh, you know, this play went this way or this ball went that way. If this tip pass didn't go like that, then maybe we would have won that game. And that's what fans want to be able to believe. They want to feel like, okay, we're not that great yet, but we're getting close. We're seeing progress. And when you see progress, that builds optimism. And then that's when you'll see the Bengals and those fans start to fill up that stadium a little bit more when they're seeing a little bit of improvement from this Bengals offense and defense.
Well, they'll get a true test on the road versus Seattle this coming Sunday. Tyler Dragon, John Fay, and P-Doc will be in Seattle. Make sure you're following them on Cincinnati Inquirer. Tyler, what's up online?
Yeah, I have a story on how the Bengals are going to game plan for Jadeveon Clowney. And predictions are coming for the entire season for the Bengals. And also, we have a lot of stories in our special section. So keep it locked on Cincinnati.com for all those stories coming up by John Fay and myself.
Thanks for joining us on another edition of the BBP.